painful death is a fact that is easily overlooked in our rush towards chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs. The death of Jesus was every bit as physical as each of ours will be. The death of Jesus was every bit as physical as each of ours will be. Now, long before the crucifixion, Jesus stated the purpose of his death as a ransom for many. And during those intense moments of prayer in the final days before his crucifixion, Jesus said that it was for this very purpose that he came. His death was an offering, a payment on behalf of this broken, depraved, and death-controlled world. A death that conquered death. A death that broke the chains of sin and sinning. A death that limited the destructive control of evil in the spirit realm. We have labeled the work Jesus has done for us at the cross and the empty grave. We have labeled it salvation. It has spawned an entire field of theological study called soteriology. And in the centuries since his death, experts in the Bible have put every aspect of this salvation life under the microscope, examining what the death of Jesus has accomplished from legal, social, theological, philosophical, spiritual, and physical perspectives. How grateful I am for their insights into the profound workings of the Trinity that allow us a measure of understanding about God, comprehensively reforming humanity of those, the humanity of those who love and follow Jesus Christ. And at the same time, I cannot help but feel that these insights are still, in the words of Job 26:14, just the outer fringe of God's great works, that there is still so much beyond our comprehension of all that Jesus' death and resurrection has accomplished and is accomplishing in creation, in us and through us. For example, that Christians now, because of the physical death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are now equipped with the armor of Jesus to stand against the forces of evil in the spirit realm and winning great battles in the name of Jesus Christ through prayer. Christians equipped with the love of Jesus, providing compassionate care and justice. Christians equipped with the truth of Jesus, navigating the complex workings of philosophy and science with a dignity and wisdom that is astonishing. We see it in God's salvation work amongst the nations, in places like China and Iran, where disciples are flourishing in places where they have no reason to exist. It is the accomplishing work of the salvation that comes through the Christ who died physically and was resurrected physically. And as we approach Easter, I invite you this week to enter into the companionship of Jesus in dying to self. Yes, death is a non-negotiable part of being human. Every one of us can remember when we were old enough to be one of the kids in nursery or in kid zone or in youth group. And yet time marches inexorably forward, and we find ourselves now with more gray hair or more skin on top than we used to have. Nobody gets out of this life alive. However, death is also a non-negotiable part of being an apprentice of Jesus. Now, just so I'm clear about this, some in the Christian community have taken this to mean that dying to self and the companionship of Jesus in his dying have taken this to mean that we should try and share in the suffering of Jesus by carrying a literal cross or using whips on ourselves, or going to extremes in the areas of fasting or sleep deprivation. That is not what Easter is about, nor what Jesus is intending when he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." It is Paul who is actually the primary source for our understanding of what it means to enter into the companionship of Jesus in dying to self. It is Paul who gives us phrases like, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me." To describe how we make sense of the tension between grace and holiness. There's the great death chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the passage in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 as Paul urges us to connect the death and resurrection of Jesus to living every day as a living sacrifice. Paul who says, "You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." To encourage the Colossians and us to participate in the salvation work of Jesus and throw off all that holds us back from fully living into the resurrected life of Jesus. What I'm suggesting is that the language of death is actually the foundation of our experience of salvation in Jesus. And as we enter into this Easter week, may it be so rich and full. For I worry that the Western church has little vocabulary and even less appetite for dying to self. We may be too fixated on justice, too obsessed with our rights and our own comfort. The cost to our soul is a shallow experience of the companionship of Jesus that only comes in suffering. That comes dying to self. As part of the Western church, I feel my own lack of experience in truly dying to myself in the pattern of Jesus and the phrasing of Paul. And perhaps we can learn together because there are so many deaths to experience in our walk with God. There are the deaths related to our agenda. For many of us, this is the most painful. Dying to our agenda, putting to death the right to have things the way we want or the way we think our life should be. So hard to put our agendas to death, and the spiritual exercise of lament can be so helpful to our obedience as we weep and wail while laying our agenda at the foot of the cross. There are deaths related to sin. Those difficult to let go of attitudes, habits, relationships that have been draining our soul's vitality and yet simultaneously defining so much of who we see ourselves. Parasitically coming between ourselves and the living God. Those deaths are painful and then joyful. The spiritual exercise of celebration helps us here. Each time we die to sin, to a particular sin, that's a time to celebrate. There are deaths related to our security. Those dead ends, broken dreams, rejections, abandonments, wrong turns, betrayals, and unanswered questions. So hard to finally lay those down. No longer dragging those chains. And here I notice the prayer of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which some have taken as God the Father and the Holy Spirit turning their backs on Jesus because of our sin. And certainly the companionship of Jesus with those who feel abandoned and rejected is a significant source of comfort. However, the quote Jesus is praying comes from Psalm 22, which, when you read it this week, includes a graphic picture of physical and emotional suffering that is so remarkably similar to what Jesus experienced up to and including the cross. Jesus really does understand those who feel rejected, abandoned. He really does understand those who have gone through deep emotional and physical pain at a soul level. However, further review that you'll discover as you read Psalm 22 is that the focus, the primary focus of Psalm 22 is how God comes alongside those who suffer. How God's compassion, power, and goodness, what we call God's righteousness, overcomes evil and suffering. My God, why have you forsaken me, invites us to ask God why, in the secure environment of God's compassionate, powerful, and good companionship. Thankfully, as apprentices of Jesus, taking up our cross and dying to self begins not at the cross, as we would expect, but at the empty tomb, the place of resurrection. It is within the light of resurrection that we are able to die to self. We cannot understand, let alone participate in Jesus' death in the way Paul describes, without the resurrection. Remove either the cross or the resurrection, and we would have no real connection with Jesus. For every death we experience as an apprentice of Jesus is always disorienting, for it cuts us off from familiar ground. We no longer belong where once upon a time we fit. Does it help to find Jesus as our companion when we pray our lament over an agenda we have laid at the cross? I think it does. Does it help to realize that Jesus prays his physical, emotional, and relational suffering? I think it does. We're invited to join him and do that and experience his companionship as we do pray our physical, emotional, and relational suffering. Does it help to realize that the prayer of Psalm 22 that Jesus prays while he is dying on a cross, that the prayer of Psalm 22 finds comfort in the God who does not hide his face from us, who hears us when we cry out to him? I think it does. And so this week, I invite you to lean into the death of Jesus on the cross. This week, as you lean in to the death of Jesus, savor the thoughts and emotions that surface as you take in the facets of salvation life that you currently understand and are experiencing. When you sense God leading you to some part of your life that must die in order to be raised into salvation life, seek the companionship of Jesus. He understands. He cares. He moves. And next Sunday, resurrection. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our good, good companion on the road to death. Not just our own physical death, in which you shepherd us with so much compassion and wisdom and care, but that same compassion, wisdom, and power, you companion us in the dying to self that is so absolutely necessary to salvation life. It is salvation life. Until we die to ourselves, we cannot fully live in your salvation. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that you guide and we follow. Would you give us fresh images, fresh experiences fresh understanding of your eternal truths that lead us to the cross, where we join you, but for us we die to self, that we might live fully in you. Guide us as we do that. And as we come to your table this morning and partake in your salvation work, write it deep on our heart. Imprint it into our mind. We walk with the Jesus who knows how to die and how to live. And we walk with you. Guide us in this, we pray. Amen. As our worship team takes their places and prepares the music, we just give you that fresh reminder that here at Skyview, the Lord's table is for everyone who receives Christ as Savior and loves him. So if you're here for the first time or you've had a rough week, this is the place. Jesus' body and blood broken and shed for you. Receive him. And I'll ask my communion servers to come forward. And we invite you, as the music is playing, to come forward, take the elements, be seated, and we'll partake together. So come on up. You have washed People who love and follow Jesus, come on up and receive the emblems of his salvation work for us. And may that joy and delight fill your heart. We're going to pray, then we'll partake of the bread. Then Jeremy's going to lead us in prayer for the cup as we partake together. But would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, upon your body, you carry our sin and make payment for that which we could not do for ourselves. And you break the chains. What a glorious feeling that must be physically for those who have been chained their entire lives to now have freedom. No longer the oppression to evil in the spirit realm. No longer the controlling power of sin. We can throw it off like grave clothes, rotten and disgusting. And we put on your righteousness because you paid. You paid the cost to redeem us. That is a part of your salvation work that I struggle to comprehend and find delight in each experience of its reality. So as we partake of this bread, symbolizing your body, would you refresh our understanding of all that you have done for us in dying on the cross and rising to new life? As we partake as you commanded us, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.